This week's program is Inner Sound Meditation in Buddhism, Part 2. It's time for Spiritual Awakening Radio. There's not just one religion, there are thousands. After years of being concerned that too few voices, too few points of view are getting heard when it comes to spiritual paths and world religions, that the radio airwaves were not reflecting the diversity that really exists, I started producing my own programs, exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, mysticism, meditation, and books, bringing to the airwaves the gentle voices of saints, the wisdom of masters or mystics, world scriptures, sacred texts, the great spiritual traditions and classics of the East and the West. My name is James Bean. Welcome to Spiritual Awakening. Hinduism is most definitely a religion of inner light and inner sound. It's also true that Sufism, in some orders or branches, may have an inner sound meditation practice. And it's also true that in Buddhism, there are a few that focus on inner sound as the path to enlightenment, as a way to uncover one's original nature. I want to share with you some passages from Buddhist and other Eastern sources about the yoga of inner sound, this sound that is the underlying oneness behind the universe, is focused upon by some in meditation in order to gain enlightenment. Ajahn Sumitu, in his book The Sound of Silence, says, as you calm down, you can experience the sound of silence in the mind. You hear it as a kind of high-frequency sound, a ringing sound that's always there. It's just normally never noticed. Now, when you begin to hear that sound of silence, it's a sign of emptiness, of silence of the mind. It's something you can always turn to. As you concentrate on it and turn to it, it can make you quite peaceful and blissful. Meditating on that, you have a way of letting the conditions of the mind cease without suppressing them with another condition. Otherwise, you just end up putting one condition over another. Ajahn Sumitu, of the Theravadin branch of Buddhism, from his book The Sound of Silence. In the Sringama Sutra, the tradition of Kuan Yin, we find this passage. How sweetly mysterious is the transcendental sound of Kuan Yin. It is the subdued murmur of the sea tide setting inward. Its mysterious sound brings liberation and peace to all sentient beings who, in their distress, are calling for aid. The Sringama Sutra tradition advocates a vegetarian diet, as well as focusing on the divine sound, transcendental hearing, the path of hearing or listening as the way to enlightenment, the easiest way in this age to achieve enlightenment. Absence of sound is not the end of hearing, and sound, when present, is not its beginning. The faculty of hearing beyond creation and annihilation truly is permanent. Even when isolated thoughts in a dream arise, though the thinking process stops, hearing does not end, for the faculty of hearing is beyond all thought, beyond both mind and body. Ananda and all you who listen here should inward turn your faculty of hearing to hear your own nature, which alone achieves supreme bodhi. This is how enlightenment is won. Buddhas, as many as the Ganges sand, entered this one gateway to nirvana. So this practice of hearing the divine sound with this transcendental hearing leads to enlightenment and liberation, or what's called by some moksha, the salvation of the soul. So this is no small thing. This is not just relaxation response in meditation. This is part of an amazing spiritual journey. Back to Ajahn Sumedho and the book The Sound of Silence, published by Wisdom. Somebody referred to the sound of silence as a cosmic hum, a scintillating, almost electric background sound. Even though it's going on all the time, we don't generally notice it, but when your mind is open and relaxed, you begin to hear it. I found this a very useful reference because in order to hear it, to notice it, you have to be in a relaxed state of awareness. When I describe this, people try to find it. They go on a 10-day retreat trying to find the sound of silence. And then they say, quote, "I can't hear it. What's wrong with me?" unquote. They are trying to find this thing, but it's not a thing you have to find. Rather, you just open to it. It's the ability to listen with your mind in a receptive state, which makes it possible to hear the sound of silence. You're not trying to solve any problems, but just listening. You're putting your mind into a state of receptive awareness. That is willing to receive whatever is. And one of the things you'll begin to recognize in that is the sound of silence. Many useful passages are to be found in this book by Ajahn Sumedho, The Sound of Silence. Edward Salim Michael, in his book The Law of Attention, Nada Yoga and the Way of Inner Vigilance, says, "A human being's attention is the most precious treasure he possesses." Everything is about attention, inner or outer. When it comes to business or learning to play a musical instrument, anything at all, whatever you focus your attention on, that's where the energy of your soul goes. So too in the mystical realm within, whatever we focus our attention on, that opens up. We go in that direction. If we focus on the inner sound becomes more audible to us. The following comes from the book Mind Beyond Death, published by Snow Lion Publications, a book about Tibetan Buddhist mysticism, including about inner sound meditation. The instruction is to begin by assuming a correct posture. When you have settled your mind, you close your ears to external sounds by plugging your ears with your fingers or pressing your hands against them. This will amplify the basic sound of Dharmata and make it more perceptible. It is easiest to hear the sound when it is quiet, particularly at night. Once you have identified this sound, then you place your awareness on it without wavering. Resting your mind in the sound, you continue to listen, going further and further into the sound itself. The more precise and clear your focus is, the more vivid and sharp the sound becomes. Attention, once again, focusing your attention. It is essential for the seeker to understand the importance of his attention in all his spiritual struggles, both in the search for the answer to the enigma of his existence and in his process of transformation. When meditating with the nada, the inner mystic sound, it is essential that the aspirant always seek and follow the particular aspect of it that is most subtle and ultra in pitch, as well as in brilliance. Even when the sound becomes very shrill and loud in moments of deep concentration, he or she must not be tempted to be satisfied with it merely because it is sharp and resonant. He should relentlessly attempt to rise further and further into ever more subtle spheres of its mysterious, invisible kingdom. A passage from Edward Salim Michael's book, The Law of Attention, Nada Yoga and the Way of Inner Vigilance, a book published by Inner Traditions of Vermont. Extracts from The Path of Sudden Attainment, a scripture of Mahayana Buddhism, translated by John Blofeld. Nature of perception, the faculty of perception, is continuous, so perception takes place whether objects are present or not. Thus we know it is the objects themselves that come and go, and not the faculty of perception. It is the same with all the senses. The nature of hearing. It is not a question of whether there is sound or not, because the faculty of hearing is continuous. So hearing takes place whether there is sound or not. It is the real nature of the self as knower that perceives and hears independently of the objects and sounds respectively, and apart from the sense organs. Kirpal Singh in this Buddhism section heavily quotes from an ancient Buddhist text dating back to B.C. times, perhaps the 4th or 5th century B.C., known as the Surangama or Surangama Sutra. He quotes the translation by Dwight Goddard found in the book A Buddhist Bible. He quotes several pages from the Surangama Sutra on transcendental hearing, the sound of Kuan Yin. For those not familiar, Kuan Yin was a great bodhisattva who practiced inner sound meditation. But with his left ear, he would hear the sounds of the world, and he would hear the cries of those suffering souls, and sometimes would stop meditating and go and help render assistance to those souls. So on the one hand, with the story of Kuan Yin, there is an inner sound meditation practice for the purpose of enlightenment. But there is not a deafness to the cry of souls suffering in this world of samsara, this world of changes. So it's a very holistic or balanced approach of inner hearing, but also not being deaf to souls in the world. And so there is a very strong belief in compassion, mysticism and compassion together is very much the story of Kuan Yin and the Surangama Sutra. Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening Radio on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. My name is James Bean, with you every week at this time, exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, mysticism, meditation, and books. The following passage is from the Hindu scripture known as the Shiva Samhita, giving some examples of inner mystic sounds. Let him close the ears with his thumbs. This is my most beloved yoga. From practicing this gradually, the yogi of sound begins to hear mystic sounds or nadas. The first sound is like the hum of the honey-intoxicated bee, a buzzing of bees sound. Next, that of a flute, then of a harp or veena. After this, by the gradual practice of yoga, he hears the sounds of ringing bells, then sounds like the roar of thunder. This reading comes from the Law of Attention that I quoted from earlier. When the aspirant has recognized this nada or inner sound and familiarized himself well enough with it, he will perceive that contrary to the ever-changing inner and outer conditions that he was used to up to that moment, this mystical sound has a strange, unearthly continuity about it. In addition to the description of this sound given in the previous chapter, it can also be compared to the soft whisper of the wind and the continuous hissing noise of the ocean waves, with a shrill ultrasound on top of it, composed of all the harmonics in the universe. On higher spheres, this sacred nada will have a strange sort of silvery aspect to it, somewhat similar to the uninterrupted jingling sound of very little pieces of glass, with other smaller, even more subtle sounds superimposed on it, until finally these finer sounds seem to disappear into infinity. And finally, this is from the selected teachings of Ajahn Sumedho, The Sound of Silence, published by Wisdom Publications. If you start contemplating the sound of silence as the sound of angels, as a cosmic or primordial sound, blessing every moment as you open to it, you will feel then blessed. Reflecting this way, in a positive way, helps us to take an interest in it and get a good feeling from it. Listening to the sound of silence, you can begin to contemplate non-thinking, because when you are just listening to the cosmic sound, there is no thought. It's like this: emptiness, not self. When you're just with the cosmic sound alone, there is pure attention, no sense of a person or personality of me and mine. Relax into the sound. Don't try to force attention onto it. Just have a sense of relaxing and resting, peacefulness. We tend to use the word sound in terms of how the mind has been perceptually conditioned. We connect sound with the ears. That's why the sound of silence is heard as if it were a buzzing in the ears, because the impression of sound is always connected with the ears. But you can plug your ears up and you can still hear it. Then you start to realize that it's everywhere and not just in the ears. That perception of the sound of silence as something heard in the ears is the same misperception as thinking that the mind is in the brain. You're changing from that very conditioned way of experiencing life, which arises through this sense of self and the culturally conditioned attitudes we hold, to a much wider understanding of the way it is. So then one can see that the body is more like a radio, more like a conscious entity in the universe that picks up things. Being born as a separate entity in the universe, we are a point of light, a conscious being in a separate form. We tend to assume we are a fixed, solid, physical person, but we are something greater than that, not so limited, heavy, and fixed as our cultural, conditioned attitude makes it sound, or as we tend to perceive.